we think it's funny when people talk shit because it's just a reflection of where you're at and that you're growing and that they're upset that they're not moving forward or anything with their life. The only thing they're going to do is try and tear you down. So
even with this anonymous Q&A, like, we get random rubbish sent in and we just delete it. Like,
yeah,
we don't even give it a second of our time.
Welcome to another episode of Talk Toby to Me. I'm Jess.
And I'm Meg, and we're two sisters that love to talk all things business, mindset, self-development, and everything in between.
This is normally part of our weekly phone catch-ups, but hot girls don't gatekeep, so we've decided to bring our combos to you. Think of someone in your life that's so important to you that you met because you said yes to something, because you said yes to a scary opportunity. Imagine you didn't have that first connection, like what you'd be missing out on. I just got goosebumps. Like, hey, sissy bae.
Hey, boo.
How are you?
I am good. We are recording on a Monday today, guys. We are mixing it up because we're actually recording three times this week.
Yeah, we've had a bit of a change to our production. So we're going to be recording a big sissy advice ep today. So we're going to dive right in because we've only just recorded on Friday. So we don't really have a huge weekly update. We're going to keep that for later in the week when we record again. So we're going to dive straight in. We've got some really, really juicy questions in our anonymous Q&A. So we've selected just a handful and we are going to take you through what we would do in each of these scenarios.
But before we do that, we would like to ask just one favor. We record every single week to give you guys so much free value, and it would mean the absolute world to us if you could leave us 5 stars if you're listening on Spotify, or leave us a review if you're listening on Apple. This just really helps us know that you guys are actually loving it as much as we are, and it allows us to continue showing up and getting on some epic guests.
So to kick us off, the first question that we are going to talk to today is, I want to start social media because I have goals with business and I know I need to get on socials. I'm not afraid of judgment of the person I am now, but I have a very checkered past. And I'm scared that if I'm successful in social media, that my past might be brought into the spotlight. Some of the things I've done in the past have been bad, but I was 18 or 19 with a lot of mental health issues, and I was hanging around the wrong people. Who I was back then is so far from the person I am now, and I don't want it to hold me back. But I'm so afraid of judgment about my past that it is holding me back. Any advice?
I'm literally laughing because don't we fucking all have a past?
For sure. I feel like that's what makes you who you are. And it also is what gives you a story. And the story is what people connect to.
Yeah, 100%. And the biggest thing with this is that if anything does come up, the only people that are going to be trying to bring that to light are people that are below you, for lack of better words. Because no one that is going out there and trying to do things for themselves is going to have time to A, try and tear you down, or B, give two fucks about doing that.
I also feel that there is so much evidence out there of people that are doing incredible, amazing, big things in business, and they have a checkered past also. So I feel like something that would help me if I was in that situation is actually going out and seeking and following those people that are doing amazing things or in big business or whatever it is you're trying to do, and also have that like checkered past. Like, I can think of several people. So I think that would be something that would help you like actually overcome those fears.
Yeah. And I think the other, on the flip side, I was just thinking the only reason you would, I mean, not the only reason, because obviously if people are talking shit, it's valid to initially get a bit, you know, upset about it. But the only reason that you would let that run, you know, your life or what you're doing is if you're not, if you haven't actually integrated the work that you say you have. If you're still, yeah, if you're not fully embodied in kind of what you're saying you've overcome or that person that you were in the past, then you might find that you're getting triggered because you aren't yet fully embodied in that new kind of version of you. So I guess it's just a bit of like a reflection point.
I also think that you can use it to connect not necessarily connect, but you can use it as part of your journey and as part of your story. So
yeah,
you don't have to do this. And there's obviously a time and a place for doing so. But I think showing people that you have overcome X, Y, Z is actually really powerful.
Yeah, 100%. And actually, yeah, it's just funny. I was saying to Jess, like, we think it's funny when people talk shit because it's just a reflection of where you're at and that you're growing and that these people are.
They're at.
Yeah, yeah, they're.
Yeah, yeah.
Because they're upset that they're not, you know, moving forward or anything with their life. The only thing they're going to do is try and tear you down. So
even with this anonymous Q&A, like, we get random rubbish sent in and we just delete it. Like,
yeah,
it's not even, we don't even give it a second of our time. Second,
so fucking get on socials, girl. Yeah, or guy. Off.
And also, like we talked about in the most recent ep that just went live, the people that, so for example, you're wanting to start a business, you're obviously going to be selling something, whether it's a product, a service, your own services, whatever. The people that are judging you for getting up and doing that on social media aren't the ones that are going to be paying your bills or buying your service. So they'll drop off or unfollow you or judge or whatever they're going to do, criticize. The people that want to buy from you will find you if you show up.
And there have been many a times where people from my past have contacted me for coaching. And it's been a pleasant surprise because it's people that you, like these kind of people that you would just never expect. And then it's just, you just need to lead by example and yes, show that it is just water off a duck's back, and they will either stay in their little slump or they will become inspired by what you're doing. Because it's also probably that they have belief that people can't change, and so they're probably potentially wanting to change themselves, and they're like, do you know what I mean, like they think that yeah, they can't change because you've got to fucking stay, you know, with yeah, who you are or whatever.
And just to wrap that up, I think the most important thing that I've realized, like, leading by example is a game changer. Mm-hmm. Because like, you are just doing you, and people will see that and they'll want that as well. Whereas when you're trying to tell people, or like tell people to do something differently or not to judge you, or you're getting affected by it, offended, like, it's not serving you, it's not serving them. So the biggest change in my life was when I started to just lead by example and stay in my own lane.
Just on a side note, I saw that change happen in real time.
Oh, thanks.
Yeah.
Appreciate you.
Question two.
So I'm ready to level up this year and study an 18-month course alongside my FIFO job. Moving to a bigger town will be beneficial for this study in terms of practicals and mentors, etc. But it means my best friends and my mum. I shouldn't say mean, but it means
leaving
being away from my best friends and my mum. I'm feeling so empowered and thrilled to study, but this part scares me. Do I move?
Let's go.
Yeah, LSD, baby.
Let's fucking move. We're making moves. No,
I've done this.
Yeah. You had to be a little Yaris up.
Yeah. I'd little Yaris up to the brim, Joey in tow with his little bed in the center console.
Stop.
And I drove those 11 hours from Queensland to New South Wales on my own, with probably not a penny to my name.
Yeah.
I just fucking did it. And I have no regrets whatsoever. And you can visit your friends and family. Like, I visit Meg all the time. Like, you can visit them. You can FaceTime. Like, if anything.
Actually, like, do you know what? That just reminded me. I feel like our relationship was strengthened when you left. Because it's like anything. I think when you live away from someone, you always have to make more of an effort because it is something that you like are going to schedule in and stuff.
Yeah, correct.
But also, I heard this quote recently, which was like a fucking bomb dropping for me.
I actually think it's been a while since you've hit us with a quote.
It's because I am just one giant. My brain is just full of quotes. And it was... Remember that it's what's the start bit of it? Whenever you're trying something new, remember that it feels scary because it's unfamiliar, not because you're incapable.
And that's all comes back to, yeah, sorry, mic drop. That all comes back to your ego, like trying to keep you safe. Mm-hmm. It's like, oh my God, these 10 things could go wrong. It's not because you can't do the thing or because those things are going to happen. That's just human nature. That's just how your brain works. Just take the leap. What's the worst that can happen? Ask yourself, what is the worst thing that can happen? It doesn't work out and you move back.
Yeah, that is what we literally ask each other that all the time. Anytime we're worried to do something, we just literally either write down a list or chat between each other of the worst possible case scenario. And it's either usually never as bad as you think it is initially, because your brain is just going to make up all these crazy ideas, all these crazy stories, or you come up with these pretty fucked up scenarios that could happen, but then you're able to logically think about them and go, okay, if this does happen, how can I overcome this? Because it's just like our brains are designed to keep us safe and keep us comfortable.
Yeah. Just do it for the plot, babe.
Yeah, send us a fucking message.
Yeah, and if you don't have someone that you can like bounce those pros and cons off, slide into the DMs.
Yeah, we'd love it. And also, just think, fuck, another quote. Here she goes.
She's fucking on one today.
I didn't make it up for lost time. No, I did post something recently about like, I'm so excited how there's still so many things in life to experience. Like, we literally still have so many people that we're going to meet, so many foods we're going to try, so many new experiences we're going to have. Like, so fucking many new things. Think about all of the new people that you're going to meet because you're going to have to, or you're going to be sad and lonely, like if you move. Whereas right now you're probably quite comfortable with your, you know, best friend and mum. And yeah, I think it's when you can look at it like that, it makes it exciting.
And on the back of that, I feel like, think about how many opportunities will come from meeting these new people in this career. So Meg and I talk about all the time saying yes to more things because of the opportunities that will arise, the doors that will open from the people that you will meet. And there's never going to be a negative outcome to those things happening. And like, for example, I don't know how you met your best friend, like whether it was at school or not, but like, say, like, think of someone in your life that's so important to you that you met because you said yes to something, because you said yes to a scary opportunity. Like, I'm thinking of, like, you and Ruby, for example, Meg. Like, imagine you didn't have that first connection. Like, what you'd be missing out on. I just got goosebumps. Like,
yeah, that's
but shiver. Okay, weird.
Shout out to you, Ruby.
Yeah, I already love her. I've never met her. But, yeah, think of, like, find evidence again where you have gotten something so valuable out of saying yes to an opportunity like that, or something scary like that, that you've undertaken and you've really like thrived from doing so.
Yeah. And also, we actually have done a full episode on stepping outside your comfort zone. I think it was only like 2 or 3 eps ago. That it's broken into 2 parts because we were fucking talking for a long time. But part 2 has all the juice on kind of like tangible ways to help you get outside your comfort zone. But just fucking do it. Let's go. 2024, baby. Question 3. How do I restart my cosmetic tattoo business after kids? I always felt that I undercharged and didn't create a luxurious brand.
This is my absolute jam.
Yeah.
Like, this is my jam. So these are the things I would do, and pretty much in this order, or at least start in this order, if I was starting my business from scratch, whether it was from the very beginning from scratch or like starting fresh. So the first thing I would do, and I'm going to keep like cut a long story short, but the first thing I would do is get really clear on my values and my vision. So what do I want my life to look like, and what do I envision my business to look like? The second thing I would do once I'm clear on that is get...
Can I add to that? Nick and I were talking to some people on the weekend, and we asked, what does success look like to you? And they couldn't give like a definitive answer. And I was explaining how that is literally 95% of people, why they don't ever get to where they want to go is because they don't actually fucking know where they want to go. They don't know what success even looks like.
And it's why so many people are so unfulfilled, because they haven't mapped out what their ideal life looks like.
And people are just kind of doing things for the sake of doing it because everyone else is doing it, or because that's what they were told to do by their parents, or instead of actually getting super fucking clear on what you want.
Yeah, across the board too. So then once you're clear on that, I'd get really, really clear on your ideal client. Not who your current client is, not who your friends and family are, not who your past clients were, not who's currently walking past your shop or whatever the case may be. Get really super clear on your dream client, because this is the person that you're going to market to. Once you've done that, and that, like, I can talk to that for hours on end. I have a whole masterclass on doing each of these things. The second thing I would do is get really, really clear on your brand. So once you're clear on your ideal client, you can then build a brand around marketing to them. So you want to ensure everything is super consistent across the board. So every single touch point that your client may interact, like may come into contact with your business, any communication you have with them, from your logo, your website, your Instagram, your highlights, your language you use, the music you play, like the way you speak to your clients, like all of those things form your brand. And you need to be super, super clear on that, and super consistent across the board when you're creating your brand. Part of that includes ensuring that your content that you produce, whether it's before and after photos or Canva graphics or whatever the case may be, is elite quality. So if you're, for example, like you've mentioned, trying to build a luxury brand, your content needs to represent that. Your content needs to reflect that. So it needs to be bright. It needs to be on a good camera, even if it's an iPhone, it needs to be edited nicely, like, et cetera, et cetera.
Particularly now with, like, everyone on social media, you need to do those things to stand out.
Correct. And even to be, like, seen by the algorithm, but that's a whole nother thing that I don't really care about. The next thing I would do is build a community. So this is something Meg's really good at as well. Build a community by sharing free, valuable content, whether that's educational, whether that's speaking to your clients' transformations that they can expect within your business, speaking to pain points and sharing the value that you offer. So you want to bring in those people, and then you want to really nurture them to build that strong community.
Yeah, I feel like this is really key, because so many people, when they're doing all of the stuff you've said so far, people buy from people. Like, they lose the whole human connection. And I think the biggest thing that really catapulted my own business was this, and like, not being afraid to use your personality. And like, it's obviously different for different businesses and how you want to show up. Some people don't want to have their face on the brand and all the different things. But I think just remembering that you are trying to sell to a human and they're just like you.
And then once you've done that, that's when you want to build those authentic relationships with your clients. It's same goes for building that community. On the back of that, you want to build authentic relationships with your clients. So when you've done that, like, as part of doing that, you want to be really proactive with gaining their, like, collecting and sharing their testimonials. This next thing is quite an underrated tool or strategy for people that are new in business and they're wanting to get clients or grow their community or grow their brand awareness, is really networking through places like Facebook groups, as one example. So I've seen this with my staff in the past, or with tons of mentorship clients. Like, people don't know about you unless they tell unless you tell them about you and you seek them out, because it's a lot harder for them to just organically find you. So if you are super new and you don't have that really strong brand and you don't have that huge community and you're not huge on Instagram and TikTok yet, you need to seek out your clients where they will be spending their time. So you want to network in Facebook groups, for example, or other groups of any kind where your ideal clients will be spending their time. So you can post your services, you can share a bit about your story, you can share a bit about your brand, you can post like what you offer, etc. And engaging with people in these groups is just going to really bring your brand to people's awareness.
I also want to add to this, because we've recently started doing cold outreach, or not really cold outreach, but we've started a system of DMing anyone who follows us and then also following new accounts and blah, blah, blah. And I didn't do this for so long because so many people online are like, don't do cold outreach, la, la, la. And now thinking about all of the billion-dollar businesses that literally make that kind of money and impact through cold outreach, I'm like, what the fuck am I doing? Like, I'm missing this huge opportunity here. And it's been super successful, I think, because social media is quote-unquote saturated now. People do, again, it's coming back to that human connection thing. They do want to know that there's actually a human behind the brand. And so I think they're almost a bit like surprised when we message, because they're like, oh, yeah, I've followed 10 other, fitness accounts today and I haven't heard a peep from any of them. Mm. Whereas this particular one wants to like connect. So yeah, I think
people honestly love it.
Mm.
And I totally agree with you. I had reservations about doing this like in the past, and since doing it, like, our engagement is up, our followers are up, like,
yeah,
like, it's just one of those super easy things that you can do so authentically too, and it's really well received, and you're honestly leaving money on the table if you're not doing it.
Yeah. And also, like, you need to remember that all these little things compound. So even if you don't get a direct return on that conversation with the person initially in that kind of like initial engagement, they're far more likely to engage in your post down the track, to watch your stories, and to feel way more comfortable to reach out when they are ready, or when they've done, you know, enough, they've looked at your stuff enough to have that trust build and actually want to reach out properly.
Yeah, it's really starting that trust building process.
Yeah. And actually, I just wanted to go back onto the testimonials thing you said, because I feel like that is fucking huge. I remember like the first probably 3 to 5 years, I did barely anything on socials besides just sharing my own journey, which like obviously there's a lot of power in that. But what I did a lot of was sharing like our client messages and testimonials on stories. And that brought in so many new clients, like so many more than any kind of, I guess, like educational content you could put out or anything like that. It's like people want that social proof. So especially when you're starting, even if you have 5 clients that get fucking good results, post those as much as you can, and don't be afraid to repurpose that content in different ways and like use what you have tenfold.
And I think it's actually shocking how many people don't have Google reviews set up for their business. The amount of people that come in to my business and say you had glowing reviews on Google, you had 5 stars only. It's honestly one of those things that Meg says, like, before it compounds. And also, it's something you just set up and then it's done. Like, it's not something that I need to ever revisit, because we've done an episode on this, so go back to our past eps, but we literally make it so easy for someone to leave a review. And obviously we could talk about all these points that I've said like for ages, but we have a follow-up email that asks them to leave a review. We give them a little QR code in their aftercare pack. Like, there is just so many touch points where they can leave a Google review that it is not hard for them to do. And it's also not something that I ever have to think about. Once you set it up, it's done. And again, you're leaving money on the table if you don't have that set up. Because if they're looking at two different businesses and they're umming and ahhing between two, and one has five stars on Google and tons of reviews and the other one doesn't even have them, who do you think they're going to go to?
Yeah. And also just one more thing on all of that. I literally had a conversation with someone recently, one of my girlfriends who's like not at all in the industry. And she was like, your clients are actually like weirdly obsessed, like a little bit culty vibes.
Yes.
And I was saying, this is literally what you should be aiming to have in a business, is that like, are those like raving fans, they call them. I can't remember if it's Tony Robbins or like, I don't know who kind of initially came up with that concept, but it's so powerful because yeah, you do want those people that are like so fucking invested, and you'd get that by just giving a fucking great service to begin with.
Yeah. The last thing I would say to keep this brief is get a mentor. When I got my first business coach, my business turnover, I made what I made in a year in the following 3 months. And it obviously like contributes so much to collapsing time and getting where you want to be quicker. So do your research on people that inspire you, have done what you want to do, or not even have done what you want to do, but can keep you accountable, create the strategy, help you get clear on your values, your goals, your ideal lifestyle, and support you to get where you want to go.
Yeah. We always say we like wish we had have got a mentor sooner.
Yeah, that's my
fucking game changer.
Yeah. The only two things I would change is I would have started my business sooner and I would have gotten a mentor sooner. And I've talked to that a million times.
Last question.
How to avoid burnout?
I love this question.
I think we're professionals at not getting burnout now.
Literally. I was talking to someone the other day about how, because obviously on socials and everything, you see all these things about having this really hectic schedule and time blocking and having a hectic morning routine and nighttime routine and being super rigid, is that the right word? Like strict? Being super like strict with your routine and scheduling and everything. I was thinking about how I actually have a lot of flexibility with a lot of those things now, and it's because I'm so strong on my boundaries. The stronger you are on your boundaries, the less structure and routine you really need to have.
I think when you're clear on your boundaries, there's less space for those things to kind of overlap and get muddled. Is that kind of where you're going with that?
Well, I just felt like I never get burnt out. I never get like, I mean, I get occasionally the things that challenge me and stuff, but I don't really get stressed or like anxious or anything like, and I was reflecting on it, and it's literally because my boundaries and my communication is so strong that it's so hard to articulate.
No, I totally get what you mean. I also feel like you and I are people that when we are faced with a challenge or a busy period, we acknowledge it as that, not as, oh my God, I'm so burnt out. In this season of launching something or wrapping something up or transitioning something or moving house, whatever it is for the non-business owners, like you just need to acknowledge it as that. That's an isolated event, and that's the season that you're in, and that's the challenge that you're currently working through, and that it doesn't necessarily mean your whole life's crumbling.
And within that, it's also really important to understand the difference between, because you know everyone says strive for balance, but it's really understanding the difference between striving for balance and striving for presence. Because when you can be so present in each different aspect of your life or your day, for example, and move from one part to the next. So for example, moving from work to your kids or to your home life or to an appointment or to your social life, all the different things, when you can be so fully present in each of those and move, it's like, oh, I'm struggling to like articulate what I want to say.
It's not like a frazzled feeling because you're moving seamlessly from one part of life to the next. Like,
yeah. And that comes
back to your boundaries as well. Like getting super clear on your boundaries first, and then the key part of that is actually honoring your boundaries yourself. Because again, we've talked about this. If you don't honor your own boundaries, then nobody else is going to. So once you're super clear and honoring your own boundaries, then you can seamlessly move from one part of life to the next without it all overlapping and becoming like this frazzled mess.
Yeah, because I'm thinking that, yeah, and that helps me articulate it. I'm thinking if you're working on your business and you've set those boundaries that you're working on your business in this particular time with everyone else that's going to try and talk to you in that time, and you honor those boundaries, and then you're able to move to your home life or to your social life or whatever it is, and you can leave work where it is. Whereas if you don't set those boundaries and don't communicate the boundaries and honor them, then you're going to be replying to messages when you're trying to be doing other things, and everything's going to be crossing over, and that's when you start to feel overwhelmed, which I feel like is a huge, like burnout is the step after overwhelm, I feel.
It's like when you've been overwhelmed for so long that your body, like your nervous system is so dysregulated and your cortisol levels are through the roof and all those things.
Yeah.
And actually, this is something that I find is huge in my relationship, my relationship with my partner. And also my other relationships, and is something that I've worked on a lot in more recent months and has contributed a lot to never getting to this feeling of overwhelm and burnout, is that I am super clear on those boundaries with work. So for example, if I've got work to do, I'm doing it at work. And then when I'm done with, I don't leave until I'm done or I'm ready to leave. And then I'm not answering texts. About work. I'm not checking my emails. I'm not checking my business Instagrams when I'm with my partner at home, for example.
What's funny? I'm just laughing because of how brutal we are with each other with this. Because we do, if either of us are working and the other one tries to call or whatever, literally, like, I mean, obviously you don't need to be rude about it, but that's just our relationship. Like, it's not even rude. It's just like, it is what it is kind of
thing. Yeah, I was like busy talking, like Meg earlier, I was in a work block before we recorded this pod, and Meg was trying to contact me about something, and I said, talk on the pod, busy. I think it was four words or something.
And like often we won't even do that.
I'm on DND and I'll just won't get the notification unless I'm on my phone for work. But yeah, I find that it's so, so important in a romantic relationship to be clear with work boundaries, for example, because when I'm at home, I'm super present with my partner. If we're watching a movie, if we're cooking, if we're hanging out, whatever, if we're on a walk, like we literally go, yep, no phones. And it's because I'm not doing work in that period because I've dedicated those hours earlier in the day to do that work. So it's just about actually sticking to that and honoring that. Because if I then all of a sudden started answering my partner's texts while I'm in a work block, and then he's going to start to think that he can like expect that. And then if I didn't reply, like that's obviously not ever going to be the case with him. But as an example.
That's funny because I literally called Nick the other day and he was at work and he answered the phone and then got a little bit frustrated that I'd called him. And I don't know what he's fucking doing in the day. And so I messaged him. I said something like, if you're working, don't answer, and then get upset at me about it. And he goes, oh yeah, you're so right. Sorry.
Yeah. Like I'm trying to articulate like, if you're always acting in the same way regarding your boundaries, like for example, when I'm at work, people like I might answer calls and I might answer texts, but people don't expect it because if I'm on D&D, they know I'm working, like my close friends and family. So they're not going to think something's wrong or be worried they can't get in touch or like whatever the case may be. That's just one example. Like the more you honor your own boundaries, the more seamless it is to then wrap up that task and move on to the next and be present in that next task. And I think it's super, super important in romantic relationships in particular, if you're a business owner.
And then just on the back of what you said before, Nick and I, for example, right now we are in absolute hustle season. And so it's about also
love to see it. Like I love to see it with Nick too in particular, because you're just like hustle all the time, but it's like it's somewhat newer for Nick than you, I think, because you've been in business for longer. Like, I love to see him just getting at it, and he's fucking killing it.
I feel like it's not new. The hustle isn't new, but the focused hustle is.
Yeah.
Because he's the hardest worker.
Yeah, like, because he's bigger on social media now and things like that.
Yeah. I was going to say, like, because we're in that right now, we have, firstly, really important, communicated that to each other. We know this is just a season that we're in. So it's like, we might be working in our, like, the time that we are together, but it's like, we know this is just a phase. So it's like, the biggest thing with burnout is when you can't see the light at the end of the tunnel. And so it's being able to identify what it is that you're like, where you're not setting those boundaries and honoring those boundaries. And then if there's no light at the end of the tunnel, you need to work out when the end is coming, if that makes sense.
Love that. So we trust you found value in that episode. We would love it if you could follow us on Instagram at TalkTobyToMePod and subscribe wherever you are streaming this from.
And guys, you can find the anonymous question and answer form linked in our bio.
Thanks for listening. Love you. Bye.
Love you. Bye.